Welcome to the National Association of Realtors Commercial Podcast. This is the forum that features interviews with top commercial experts from across the country, sharing their best practices to help you improve your business.
Hi, Alex Ruggieri here. Welcome to the podcast. My special guest today, Dean Saunders. Dean began his career in real estate in 1985, specializing in Florida land and conservation easements. He also served in the U.S. Senate as agricultural liaison, special assistant, and director of external affairs to the U.S. Senator Lawton Childs. Dean received significant recognition for exemplary sales performance from both the CBC Global Network and regional industry organizations as well. He has earned the number one sales profession recognition in the CBC affiliate network multiple times. He's led the company to CBC's highest honor, the Commercial Elite Award, for outstanding commercial sales performance and customer service multiple times. And he's recognized as Florida Realtor of the Year by the Realtors Land Institute. Dean resides in Lakeland, Florida with his wife Gina and their four children. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Alex.
I am so glad that you were able to connect with us because Gene at headquarters has been telling me for a long time, you got to talk to Dean. We really haven't had anybody on the podcast who could talk about land, and she thought that maybe you could add some insights to that type of product that exists for our commercial practitioners who might want to learn more about that. And who better to talk about it than someone who not only knows about land, but has just had such a stellar career in that area. So maybe we could talk a little bit about how did you get involved with land?
Well, I grew up in Central Florida and worked in the orange groves and went to the University of Florida and studied citrus. And so it's just something I knew and enjoyed. When I went to work for U.S. Senator Lawton Childs, I was working with the agricultural leadership around the state. And later, he went on to run for governor. And so I helped him in that campaign. I actually raised the money for him in that campaign and then later served in the legislature myself. So in all of those venues, I got to really know the agricultural leadership throughout the state translated the larger landowners, the more successful concerns. And so when I got out of the legislature and looked around and decided, well, what am I going to do when I grow up? Going into land brokerage made a lot of sense because I, number one, enjoyed it, and was passionate about it, and knew something about it. And it was who I knew. And typically the larger landowners were really the ones I knew the best because I'd worked with them over the years.
So when you went into real estate, did you start right out in commercial working in land, or did you graduate from maybe residential or just work your way through into doing land, or did you just start right with land?
Alex, when I was a senior in college, I decided, you know, I think I'll get a real estate license. I'm getting a degree in citrus management, and perhaps I might sell a grove or two along the way, so maybe I'll get a real estate license. So I did, and when I got out, I put my real estate license with a firm that specialized in selling citrus groves and ranches, I mean, that specialized in agricultural property. So that's really how I got my start. So when Senator Childs decided to retire from the Senate, the grove market was red hot. We had had several freezes in the 80s, and so there was a scarcity of good groves. And again, the market was really hot. And so I went to work selling orange groves and made a few deals that replaced my salary, never looked back.
Wow, that's fantastic. What types of transactions are you involved with today?
A lot of the same things. I do, one of the things I did when I was in the legislature, I always felt like the state of Florida has a had a program to buy environmentally sensitive lands. Many other states have it, but Florida was a leader in that area. They're not so much anymore, but they were. And so, and they were spending up to $300 million a year to buy environmentally sensitive land. And I felt like there's got to be a way to protect land without taking it off the tax rolls, keeping it, you know, stimulating the economy, make land buying dollars stretch further. So I took that idea, basically conservation easements, I called it a purchase of development rights, crafted legislation to do that, and it was the first program in the state to buy development rights or conservation easements, as they are politically correctly known as.
That is amazing. What an incredible story.
And when I got out of the legislature, I had a lot of people at a local rancher that called me up, and he said, well, I thought you were crazy as a sprayed roach when you pushed that conservation legislation. He said, but you know what? I think you could help me. Why don't you come out here and talk to me and my wife about it? And so the light went on, and I realized, well, you know, if he needs help, there are probably some other guys that need help doing the same thing. So I started practice focusing on conservation in addition to my agricultural practice.
Right.
So I was doing both. And typically, the lands that were being protected were lands owned by timbermen or ranchers, or, you know, so it just fit. It dovetailed into what I already was doing.
Wow. That is an amazing story, because it also tells me that you were the root of what has become an emerging and important trend in land sales and conservation, and it's these conservation credits. That's amazing.
Well, it's the right way of doing things. It's a good. It's an alternative. It doesn't fit everybody, but you know, Florida is a leader in those areas, and you know, the federal government now does a bunch of them, and I've worked with state and the federal government in doing a number of easements. In fact, I worked on the single largest easement that USDA has ever done, or WRP easement they've ever done, a couple of years ago. So
that's incredible. And I mean, they must have attorneys that turn to you for advice and counsel.
Well, I don't know about that so much, but it's fun to do. It's half politics and half real estate, and two things I enjoy and know a lot about, so it just kind of fit.
Well, fantastic. Obviously, unique to your skill set and to your passions in life. What kinds of some of our commercial practitioners listening out there think, hey, you know, this might be a good area for me to get into? Maybe they're out west in California or Arizona or other places, Texas. What kind of things would you, what kind of advice would you give to them if they were wanting to get more involved with land sales?
Well, you know, this kind of depends. I mean, I went with what I knew.
Right.
You know, I knew land and I knew agriculture and I enjoyed it. So I kind of worked with what I knew. So, you know, if you don't understand agriculture, you know, you ought to take a few crash courses and really try to get to understand it. And, you know, understand the economics behind it. Learn who in your community has got the land. You know, go call on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to, you know, obviously it's a huge advantage for me knowing what I'm talking about, but there's nothing that I do that somebody couldn't learn, at least well enough, because we're generalists in real estate anyway, to a large extent, that they couldn't learn. And so it's just, you know, going out there and asking the right questions, reading. And there's so much stuff on the internet now, you can learn a lot of things.
What about regarding these environmental credits? Is there any coursework or anything, either through NAR or other areas, that you would recommend that people learn more about environmental credits?
Well, now when you say environmental credits, that's a little bit different maybe than a conservation easement. If you're talking about a conservation easement, those are typically where you know, a landowner gets paid to not develop his land, in essence, or to agree to manage it in a certain way. You know, there's a lot of information out there. In the last 20 years since I got that legislation passed in Florida, there's been myriads of easements done. Other people are in the game. There's a lot of stuff you can learn about it. There's variations of easements. There's all specialization of easements. USDA's wanting to protect wetlands. SOAR, the natural hydrology. You know, those are, as you see, and that's the type of easement that's out there that, you know, you can learn about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like when you're dealing with the government, you deal with them just like you would any other buyer, right? What is it that you want? Okay? Go find out what they want, and then go find the product for them. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I know that USDA wants land that can be restored. It has to have been former wetlands that was farmed, and they want to restore it. Well, and you score points. You know, they score projects by points, you know, and depending on what you have. And so the more you have that they want, the more points you're going to score. So you just know that and go figure out how to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
really
one way. Now, each state, you know, in states that are doing them are different, and counties that are doing them are different. And there are some environmental organizations doing them. There's a whole area of mitigation banking. It could be species banking, or it could be a wetland restoration bank, wetland mitigation bank. You know, it's again, that's very highly specialized, and we probably really don't have time to get into it here much. But it is a specialized field and can be very lucrative for the landowner that does an easement. I mean, does a mitigation bank.
Well, I really appreciate you taking time to share of your enormous expertise and history in the development of conservation easements and for the sale of land. We've got just about a minute left. Do you have what do you see in the future for land sales?
You know, I mean, it's going great guns right now, particularly here in Florida. You know, the population grows, people need land. It's a great business to be in, and we need food to eat. So, you know, focusing on ag land, it's a great place.
Yeah,
people got to eat.
Absolutely. Do you have any words of advice for anybody who wants to get involved in land sales?
Just, you know, get out there and meet the people that own the land. That's the main thing. It's like anything in sales. You don't have to know everything. You have to be willing to learn, but know who owns the land. Get to know them.
Yeah, it's all about the people. The land or the real estate are just chips in the game. It's all about the people. Well, it has been a real delight to talk to you, and I know you've got a very busy and tight schedule, and you made allowances to join us on the NAR Commercial Podcast today. We're very lucky to have a practitioner such as yourself to share all your expertise. Dean Saunders, thank you so much for being with us today on our commercial podcast.
Okay. Thank you, Alex.
Thanks for being with us on the National Association of Realtors Commercial Podcast, the place for you to learn the best practices from the best commercial experts in the country.